In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's the last part of this reading from Mark. Just sort of grabs a hold of you, doesn't it? With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples, which really isn't helpful. Because after hearing the parables, him telling them in private doesn't help us at all. Because I've read these parables so many times, and I think to myself, I'm not sure I understand what he's talking about. I don't know if you caught it immediately, but it took me a while, and I had to read some other people's thoughts on it so I could maybe grasp some concept of what it is Jesus is trying to say. You've heard these parables before, right? Essentially, we have two kingdom parables. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He makes that pretty clear by saying, this is about the kingdom of God. So we have this first parable. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. You got that, right? You know exactly what Jesus is talking about? I know, I had the same problem. And then he goes into this concept of the mustard seed, tells you how small it is. Yeah, maybe he doesn't, but you know mustard seeds are pretty tiny. I mean, they're really tiny. And they grow, and then he talks about how these mustard seeds grow into these bushes that are branches big enough for birds to live in, and all these, you know, covering all these creatures can gather in them. And I still think to myself, I don't know that this is helpful for me. So as I went digging, because it was a challenge now, so I had to figure something out, there was a few things that stuck out, but the thing that I finally grasped is this. The expectation of the coming Messiah at this time was that he was going to come in as a warrior and was immediately going to reign as king. That is what everyone expected to happen. That's what the Jewish people expected to see happen. The Messiah would come, he would push out the Romans, and he would reign as king. And Jesus is trying to tell them something now. This kingdom of God is as if someone has scattered seed on the ground. And he would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. And he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. The seed has been spread. The process of the coming and the fullness of his kingdom is incomplete. It's a process. First it will sprout, then it will grow, then the fruit will come, and then the harvest. Same with the mustard seed. Tiny little seed will grow into something that will be able to care for many. It's a process. This concept of a coming Messiah, God as king immediately upon his arrival, is not what's happening. You may have noticed, as we sit here still today, 2,000 plus years past Jesus is walking on this earth, we still do not see the fullness of his kingdom, do we? Not what he promised. But he did promise that the fullness of the kingdom would be. So we find ourselves in this time that is often referred to as already, but not yet. In this process, Jesus Christ, coming into the world, God incarnate, initiated the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be consummated when he returns. It is then that he will reign in his creation. So we are in this in-between time. We are in this time where the seeds are spread, the mustard seeds, the tiny little bits of faith, are beginning to grow. We're in this place where the one who has scattered the seed is waiting, and it's developing. It's in this process. First, it's going to sprout, and then it's going to grow, and then the fruit will grow from there, and the harvest will come, that time in which Jesus will return. So we're hearing these parables as Jesus is trying to tell his disciples and us already, but not yet. The kingdom has been initiated. It has not been consummated. But here's the interesting thing that we need now to pick up in between. Verse 26 says, the kingdom of God is. And we'll hear in other places in Scripture where Jesus says the kingdom of God is where? Near. The kingdom of God is near. And how do we know it's near? Because we can see Jesus doing godly things in his healing and in his teaching and in his preaching and in the way in which he is expressing grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. We see the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And as we move further through scriptures, we see the very acts of God, the kingdom acts of God through his disciples. And today we still see the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in his people. We're just not used to seeing it as much as we would like to see it. See, we are in the midst of the process of the growth of God's kingdom, the expansion of God's kingdom. We have actually, believe it or not, by his grace, been invited into this very work of the expansion of his kingdom. He's called us to come alongside of him to do this work. Not even alongside, really, though, is it? To join him, because he indwells us, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, we get to do this work. It's a privilege to do it. And apparently this was supposed to be a very short sermon. But we have this opportunity that's given to us, and we need to know that this is where we are. So I'm looking at my note, and I wrote in here, don't be distracted by fire insurance faith. You know what that is. That's where we get together on Sunday and we go to church. And people say, well, we live sort of in the South. Florida is Southern, but it's not always the South. Depends on which part of Florida you're in, if you know what I mean. Where people don't ask if you go to church, they just assume you go to church. And we want to say yes to that, most of us. You know, do you go to church? Yes. The question is, are we satisfied with going to church? Or should we be seeking to be the church? See, there's a difference. One is sort of that fire insurance faith. I get to church, I do what I'm supposed to do in hopes that when I get to the other end of this life, I will get to be with Jesus. The other is we become the church. We understand that we're in this in-between time, the already but not yet, and we join in that which God is calling us to in walking out and being the very reflection of God in this world for the expansion of his kingdom, so others will come to know what we know, so others can come on board and be a part of this, so others will then see the glory of God so that his kingdom will continue to grow and expand. It's going to anyway, in some fashion. But if we know that it is now, why would we wait? Why would we wait to live into the fullness of God's glory when we could do it today? Why would we let that go by? Why would we continue to live in fear and shame and sorrow when we could be free? Why would we continue to nurture our sin when we could live in his grace? See, that opportunity is now for us. And it's now for others. In fact, it is now for everyone. But in the fear of not wanting to do something strange in our society, even our churches our beloved Christian faith has turned to a place of saying, do what's right so that you can get into heaven. There's an old blues song. I heard it yesterday. It's called Get Right or Get Left. That's actually something, a theology we don't teach, by the way. This is this concept that somehow when it's going to get really bad into tribulation, we're all somehow going to disappear with Jesus, and then it's just going to get really ugly for a while, and then we'll come back with him. That is not a theology of our tradition. We pray in the way in which Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Where do you think you're going? Where is he going to reign? There will be a new heaven and a new earth. The kingdom is in the process of expanding in his creation. We have the opportunity to walk it out today. Today, that gift is ours. We don't have to continually bow to the brokenness of this world. We do have to walk among it. But we walk in victory, not defeat. There will still be battles, but the war is over. Christ has won. We can choose to walk in victory with him, or we can choose to walk in fear of the world. And I would say that this day, brothers and sisters, let us walk in victory as we await the consummation of his kingdom, which has already been initiated. Amen.